Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace.
Self-reliance is one of the greatest hindrances to us following God's will and seeing it come to pass in our life.
I knew that God was speaking to me about, you know, that even though it doesn't look like it's possible for us to do it, that maybe God has some other plans.
And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm in the middle of my fourth week teaching on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. I've got a book on that, and I tell you, this is a powerful book. And we're into our fourth week of teaching. I tell you, I've covered so much material that there's no way I can go back and summarize what I've said. You can go to our website, and we have all of these programs archived on there. Plus, you can actually get all of this teaching free of charge by going to our website and downloading it either in an MP3 format or just listening to it on the website. But if you want to get the product, you can also get that. We have 15 hours worth of teaching, 5 hours on each one of these levels. First of all, 5 hours on how to find, and then 5 hours on how to follow, and then 5 hours on how to fulfill God's will. So please get hold of this. This is what transformed my life. And this is a little 25-page booklet that I just wrote about my experience where God just, jump-started my life. This is really, really good. I'd encourage you to get that. So we've already talked about how to find God's will, how to follow God's will generally through the Scriptures, and even more specifically through a special word from God. Primarily, I was focused on letting the peace of God rule in your heart and then delighting yourself in the Lord, and God just gives you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean He gives you whatever you want, but He puts His desires in your heart. So I've already talked about those things. We're now moving into this third portion about how do you fulfill God's will. You know, it's one thing to find out what God's will is and even start moving in that direction and following His leading, but it's a whole nother thing to finish your course with joy. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I've run the race. I have finished my course, and there is set before me this reward. You know, the Scripture, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Anybody can start a marathon, but not everybody can finish a marathon, and certainly not everybody can finish a marathon in first place. It's one thing to start, but it's another thing to finish. And I tell you, there's a lot of people that never make it across the finish line. So just as important as how to find God's will and then how to follow Him is how to fulfill, how to finish what God has told you to do. I heard a statistic through Focus on the Family, and this has been many years ago. It could have changed some, but they said that 80% of all ministers quit after 5 years in the ministry because of the hardships, the disappointments, because they've got a vision of success. And it just takes a while to see things happen, and they don't ever finish. They quit within the first 5 years. And then out of the 20% that are remaining in ministry, 80% of those are either dissatisfied or thinking about quitting. So if you put all this together, that means only 4% of ministers are still successfully, joyfully fulfilling their call after 5 years. And I don't know if that statistic still holds true today. I think it's probably worse now than it was back then. But my personal experience, I know a lot of people that have started in ministry, but they fall out along the way. So it's better to finish than it is to start. Starting is absolutely essential, but finishing is even better. And so what I'm going to be talking about is how do you finish once you know God's will, once you've started following Him and you're seeing things work, how do you cross that finish line in victory instead of just limping across it? I tell you, you can finish your course with joy is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I'm doing these things so that I may finish my course with joy. Just crossing the finish line is important, but to do it with joy is awesome. And you know, I can truthfully say this, I'm not the perfect example, but in my life, I've been walking with the Lord 53 years and seeking Him. I've been born again 63 years, but for the first 10 years, I was just a little kid and I wasn't really seeking the Lord the way I should. But for 53 years, I've been seeking God with my whole heart. I've been in ministry, and I can truthfully tell you that I've got joy. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. When I get up in the morning, it's not like, oh God, what do I have to do today? It's like, God, what do we get to do today? And I'm still ministering to people and I'm enjoying it. So I may not be the perfect example, but I can say that I've lasted much longer than 5 years. I'm in my 53rd year of ministry and I'm seeing good things happening and I'm loving it. So how do you finish? How do you fulfill God's call? And again, I'm not saying these things based only on my personal experience, but I'm offering the fact that I've been in ministry for 53 years and we haven't peaked yet. We are setting nearly new records every single month on the number of people contacting us, the number of materials that we're sending out, the lives that are being changed. Our Bible college is growing. We still haven't peaked. I'm not just limping along. We are thriving. And so I may not be the perfect example, but I've got enough experience under my belt to say some things about how do you maintain your faith and your ministry over a prolonged period of time. And this is not limited to just ministers. I'm going to be speaking from my perspective, which I'm in the ministry, so I'll be using a lot of examples like that. But this is true for how do you maintain your faith for the vocation that God has called you to? How do you maintain your faith for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for working in the church, for whatever it is that you're doing? So there are some lessons here that I believe we all have to learn. And the very first one I'm going to talk about is not going to bless some people. Because, you know, I minister a lot on the grace of God. And religion as a whole, I believe, just preaches that you've got to do this and this and this. And if you do these things, then God will respond to you. I teach just the opposite of that, that our actions ought to be a result, a response to what God has already provided, not something we do in order to get God to respond. So when I teach on grace and I talk about how God loves us in spite of who we are, there's nothing we can do to make God love us more and there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Many times that ministers to people who've been abused by religion and have been under this performance-based type of relationship with God, and they get so set free from this performance mentality that they just throw obedience to the wayside and say, forget it, God just loves me. And so for people who have been set free from that, this first thing I'm going to talk about how you fulfill God's will may sound like it's contradictory to that, but it's not. The first thing I'm going to talk about is if you want to see, not only find God's will and then start following, but if you want to fulfill and cross the finish line in victory, you've got to obey. You need to learn to obey. And like I said, there's a lot of people, whoa, you're going back to putting me under performance. No, God loves you if you don't obey. If you fail Him, if you abandon ship, did you know God's still going to love you? And the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, Romans 11:29. He'll never change. He'll never take back. He'll never say, well, I don't like the way you're doing it, and so I'm just going to cast you to the side and your calling, my purposes for your life are over. Nope, that's not so. I've seen lots of people who bailed along the way, who made a mistake, who did something totally wrong, and yet God still has that same call for them and they get back on and they begin to go and God's blessing and anointing is still there. I am not saying that God calls you and responds to you and loves you based on your performance, but your performance is absolutely essential if you want to finish your course with joy, if you want to fulfill what God has called you to do. And let me just take a real simple passage of Scripture that you've probably applied in other areas, but maybe not to the, you know, the long end result of your entire life. But it says here in James chapter 2 and in verse 18, it says, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Again, faith is absolutely a necessity for walking with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And God is a God of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God." So faith is an integral part of it. And this is saying that you may say you have faith, but if you can't demonstrate that through your actions, then it's not real faith. And the next verse goes on to say, it says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" Boy, that is one of the most sarcastic statements in the entire Bible. It says, you have faith, you believe that there's a God, big deal. The devil believes in God. But won't you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Satan believes in God. Satan probably understands and is more established in the existence and the reality of God than any of us are. He knows God exists, but all of his actions are contrary to God. He is rebelling at God. He is fighting against the kingdom of God. He is doing his own thing instead of responding and submitting himself to God. So belief that a God exists isn't enough is what this is saying. If you just say, well, I believe in God, well, you hadn't done anything the devil hasn't done. Belief without works is dead. This isn't talking about works that earn you favor with God, but it's just saying accompanying actions. If you say that you believe something, but if you don't believe it enough to act on what you say you believe, then it's not true faith. You know, if we were in a room together right here, and if I said, the building's on fire, we're all going to die if we don't get out of here. If you really believed what I said, you would react. You would do something. But if you just sat there and said, well, I guess we're going to die. The building's on fire and we're all going to die. And if you just sat there and did nothing, people would wonder about whether you really believed it, whether your elevator went all the way to the top floor. Something's wrong with you if you say that your life is in danger and then you don't do anything. Now, there's room for us to respond differently. Some people could faint. But, you know, that would be a result of the fact that you really believed what I said. Some people might run for the exits. Some people might look for a fire extinguisher or something that they could put the fire out with or something. There's room for different reactions, but no reaction would mean you didn't really believe what I said. Likewise, when it comes to the Word of God, if you say that you are believing God and that you're trusting God, but then your actions don't match up with it, well, God still loves you. And the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God's not going to turn you away and punish you because you didn't do what's right. But you will not see that supernatural power of God flow through you because you're short-circuiting it by your unbelief. The Scripture says over, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 1, it says, "If you be willing and obedient, then shall you eat the good of the land." Again, God brought all of the children of Israel into the promised land, and there was a land flowing with milk and honey. But did you know that that didn't mean that you just enter into the promised land and then God feeds you intravenously and all of this abundance and everything just happens? No, you still had to get out and do something. You had to hoe the ground. You had to plant your crops. You had to harvest the crops. Then if it was something like corn or peas, you had to shell them. You had to husk them. There was things you had to do. It was God that gave you the increase. But if you just sat there and said, well, I'm not going to do anything. It's not my might. It's not my power. I'm trusting God. Well, God's the one that gave you all of this, but you still have to harvest it. There's still things that you need to do. Yes, I believe in the grace of God. Yes, I believe that God is not giving me what I deserve. But does that mean that I'm inactive? That I'm doing nothing? You know, let me share this passage with you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the Apostle Paul talking about the resurrection, and he said that there were many people who saw him, and then Paul was the last one to see him on the road to Damascus. And it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So he's referring to the fact that he actually was persecuting the Christians and gave his voice against them and was part of seeing Christians put to death. And because of that, he says, "I'm not even worthy to be counted an apostle." But then he goes on to say in verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." So in other words, he was saying, "I don't deserve it, but God has extended grace to me and has made him an apostle." And he goes on to say, "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Now see, Paul is the one who taught that all of these things, that if a man is trying to earn the favor of God, that it profits you nothing. If you think that you are somehow or another right with God because you fulfilled these laws that are commanded in the Word, then you have fallen from grace. I mean, in the book of Galatians and Romans and many different places, he says that. So some people take that and say, "So it doesn't matter whether I do anything or not. I'm justified with God by what He did for me, not what I do for Him." Well, that's true. And as far as finding God's will for your life and beginning to follow God's will, it's true that you don't have to perform. God has a perfect plan for you, and He will reveal it to you and show you the way to go. But as far as crossing the finish line, whether you finish your course with joy, that is dependent on whether you respond properly to what God is leading you to do. God is going to show you the way to go, and you could choose to go your own way and try and do it your own way, and God will still love you, and He won't take His blessing and anointing off of you, but you won't see the same results because Satan will take advantage of that. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." And if you took that in context, that's Paul's masterpiece on grace. That's in the book of Romans. And he's talking about that, man, you are dead to sin and God is not imputing sin unto you. But right in the midst of that, if you yield yourself to Satan, the author of that sin, then Satan is going to dominate you. And John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "The thief, Satan, only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come," Jesus was speaking, "I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So Jesus, if you follow Him, you will find that God will supernaturally protect you, give you abundance, life, and life more abundantly. But if you don't follow God's leading, He's still going to love you. He's not going to impute your sin unto you, but Satan is going to take your cooperation with Him and use it against you. Satan cannot do anything to you without your consent and cooperation. Another way of saying that is he can't do anything without you disobeying God and instead obeying Him. So even though our actions, our obedience are not essential to have God love us or reveal His will to us or to show us what He wants us to do, He does all of those things through grace. If you see God's will fulfilled in you and you experience the fulfillment of all of the things He's told you, you do have to cooperate with God to see that. If you go out and take the grace of God and use that as an excuse to go live in sin, Satan is going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. He will stop you from seeing God's good and perfect and acceptable will performed in your life. And so it is important that we learn how to obey God and to follow His leading. Again, I know that there are some people who've really embraced grace because you were just beat up by this performance-based religion. And so you have just totally rejected performance. It's like, "I don't care if I do anything right or not. God loves me." That's true. But you won't love God the same if you don't perform properly. If you sit there and just let the sewage of this world flow through you every day and you don't keep your mind stayed upon God, then according to Isaiah 26:3, you aren't going to have perfect peace. Not because God's not willing to give it. He would be willing to flow it by grace. But you have just yielded yourself to Satan, and he's going to steal, kill, and destroy from you. He will take your peace away. I tell you, Satan is a taskmaster. He's an evil taskmaster. And if you obey the devil, if you don't follow through and do what God tells you to do, God's going to love you the same, but you aren't going to have the same results because Satan is going to take your cooperation, your obedience to him, and he's going to use it against you, and you will suffer because of it. So if you want to see God's will fulfilled in your life, you need to start cooperating with God. You need to learn to obey God. You need to do what His Word says. And let me just say it this way, that if you truly love God, then you want to obey God. A person who would take what I teach on the grace of God and say, man, this is great news. I can go live in sin. I don't ever have to study the Word. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to pay my tithes. God loves me because of what Jesus did, not because of what I did. And if you took that attitude and then just quit obeying God and doing what He told you to do, it's true that God would still love you if you were genuinely converted. But I doubt seriously that you really love God. If you love God, you would serve God more accidentally once you find out how much He loves you and how full of grace it is. You'd serve Him more accidentally than you ever did on purpose before. Love would constrain you to serve God. Religion is basically trying to constrain people to serve God out of debt, out of obligation, trying to earn God's favor. Just because that's not true and we don't earn God's favor, once you understand how gracious God is and how He's extended His love to you through Jesus, you ought to serve God more through love than you ever did out of fear. Over in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." And if those first two verses are true and you're walking in the love of God, then verse 3 says, "Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." Not in order to gain God's favor, but in response to God's unmerited love and favor, it will cause you to live holy. It says, "Every man that has this hope purifies himself." If you are using the grace of God to justify living in sin and going against all of the things that God's Word teach, then I doubt seriously that you really have that love of God on the inside of you.
After my husband died, I thought that my purpose died with him. My hope died with him. And so, but I know that that's not true now.
And when I heard find, follow, and fulfill God's will, I knew God had more for me.
And that's when I sold everything and packed up everything and moved 5 days' drive across the country to start Bible college.
Today, Andrew's offering his brand new booklet, My Appointment with God, as his gift to you, absolutely free. This is his personal life-changing story arising from a divine encounter on March 23, 1968. This offer is limited to one free booklet per household and is available in the U.S., U.K., Canada, and Australia. Go to awmi.net to order your free booklet today. Andrew's teaching titled, How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will is available in a book for a gift of any amount. The full series is available in 3 individual teachings, How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. Each series is available in a DVD album made from our daily television broadcast, or in a CD or DVD album recorded live at a ministry event. These teachings are also found in 3 comprehensive study guides. Each resource is yours for a gift of any amount when you write or call.
Once again, I'd like to encourage you to get this book on how to find, follow, and fulfill God's will. And we also have this same material in 3 different study guides. And then I have 15 hours worth of teaching that is on CDs or DVDs. And so just a wealth of material. Also, I'm offering this little booklet, 25-page booklet, as a free gift to you entitled My Appointment with God. So listen to our announcer and please get these materials today.
Andrew is also offering these products as part of the God's Will package. It includes his free booklet, My Appointment with God, along with the How to Find, Follow, and Fulfill God's Will book, all 3 study guides, and your choice of DVD or CD albums. This entire package has a catalog value of $180, but is yours today for just $130. We also want to remind you of Andrew's Living Commentary software. The Living Commentary is a combination of more than 50 years of Andrew's Bible study notes and personal encounters with God. Get Andrew's Living Commentary today for $120. You can order resources through our website at awmi.net. While there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Andrew wants to say a special thank you to his grace partners. Your gifts to this ministry make it possible for him to put free ministry materials into the hands of many people in need. If you're not already a Grace Partner, we ask you to pray about becoming one today. You can also order resources or receive prayer by calling our helpline at 719-635-1111. Our helpline is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
You know, the Lord has given me a huge vision. And we've been blessed up to this point, but I've still got so much that God's leading me to do. I'm believing God for 10,000 new partners. We've already got over $120 million worth of buildings in just the last 9 years, but I've got at least $100 million worth, maybe $200 million worth of buildings still in my heart for our students, for an activity center. We've got a new student housing that we've got a preliminary drawing of that is showing you a little idea of what it would look like. This one would house about 120 people. Our others are gonna be smaller with maybe somewhere around 40 people per dorm, but we need this student housing and we need people to become partners. I'm believing for 10,000 new partners. I would ask you to pray about it, and if the Lord says so, join with us and help us change people's lives through Charis Bible College.
For 20 years, Andrew Womack has been sharing the message of God's unconditional love and grace through his half-hour television program Monday through Friday. Now, Andrew is broadcasting a full hour-long teaching each week.
When God finds somebody who wants to be a giver and wants to bless somebody else, He will give seed to the sower. He will give seed to people who will sow it and give it to other people.
Watch the weekend edition of Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack.